This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Get an all-access experience with player interviews,
exclusive practice information,
and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else.
This is South Philly Sauce,
hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
Welcome back, South Philly Sauce and Odyssey Original, brought to you by 94 WIP and Jack Daniels. Al Morganti, Ashlyn Sullivan, here with you, recapping two really tough games for the Flyers, a tough stretch here. And their home games, it's a teeny bit easier, but we're going to recap these two games against the Carolina Hurricanes and Colorado Avalanche. Both losses, games that looked very different, frankly, especially in the third period coming off the game against the Carolina Hurricanes. The third period was awful and very uncharacteristic of the Flyers in this tough stretch where normally you can count on them to compete till the end. And we did not see that against the Hurricanes.
No, we didn't see it. And I think what we saw in the last couple of games was, you know, the term is measuring stick and whether you measure up. And I don't think, to the surprise of many people, they're not there with those teams, but you wanted to be a little harder to beat against Carolina because of the mistakes that were made. And I think it just shows you how, for as much as you feel good about stuff that's happened, how far you have to go to really be one of those teams to be kind of in the hunt for playoff spot or even do well in the playoffs. Colorado, two different animals. Colorado came at them with a lot of speed, and they hung in for a long time, came back in the game. And Carolina, you mentioned it, that third period. I mean, that's just, for any team, that's a tough team to beat. They just play so hard. And we mentioned it before that was the sort of team the Flyers are striving to be. And you saw up close and personal, when you make a mistake, how a good team just absolutely pounces on it. And Carolina just took it to them. Just every time they made an error, Carolina made them pay dramatically.
Yeah, and John Tortorella postgame especially was very adamant how you can't make those mistakes against good teams. And we knew that it's very similar to last year when the Flyers had some excellent wins over great teams last year. I still go back to that Dallas Stars win that I thought shifted the whole season. But against those teams, you basically have to be perfect. Your goaltender has to be perfect. It puts a lot of pressure on the situation. But I think it's frustrating for Flyers fans, and I think it's frustrating for Torts when he talked about the turnovers on Wednesday night. You would hope and you would think this Flyers team would be past making mistakes like that. The amount of turnovers we saw, especially in the third, but even to start the game, he talked about Scott Laughton. He talked about Eric Johnson. I mean, you can point to so many where you can't make mistakes like that, and that's why the Flyers are still in this tier that they are, is making mistakes like that.
Yeah, and the key there, Ashton, was the names you mentioned. Those are veterans. So what you're looking at are guys that, I think that's why John Tortorella was so upset at the Laughton turnover early in the game, because they had just talked about how important it was not to do anything like that. And Laughton's ice time was reduced. He had a tough night, and he's usually one of the team leaders. And that was what made it so difficult. I mean, you can sort of live with younger players making an error when they're pressured. But when you go into that game and your whole stress points for the game are, this is a team that will pounce on our turnovers. Let's be smart with this. Let's not give them anything. And when you have veterans that make mistakes, it's really crushing because that guy is supposed to be able to count. Now, mind you, everybody's going to make a mistake in a game. I mean, that's how goals are scored. That's how touchdowns are scored, whatever. But to that early in the game when he had that turnover, it's like, no, we just talked about this. We can't do this. And, you know, there are turnovers that I guess you can look at it in two ways. One is like a pickpocket turnover, and the other one is you handed them your wallet. And these looked like you handed them your wallet a couple of times on these turnovers. And the fact that it was veterans, you know, Johnson had one where he tried to throw it up the wall late in the game. And then once you start with that, they did kind of recalibrate after that early mistake by Lawton. They kind of hung in. But then once it started in that third period, it was like one after another after another. I don't even know, Ashton, that you have to go and do the video much on this because they were so, I mean, you know, you did it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you have to, that's what you have to kind of count on, the fact that you learned from that kind of mistake. And you're hoping your veteran leadership, you don't often see, I mean, how many times we talk to Scott Lawton or see you interview him during game, we hear him after a game.
Great.
You don't often see him really look dejected.
Yeah.
But he really looked dejected, knowing that that's just something you just can't do early in a game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he definitely did. Wednesday night, very short, very unlike him. And I'm sure it had a lot to do with his ice time and knowing he cost the team. Just like how Travis Konecny against the Colorado Avalanche talked about a mistake he made. Another guy that you don't want to see these mistakes being made. And I think it's what's putting the Flyers back right now. But all that said, when you look at the situation right now of one, guys that you need to be producing scoring goals that aren't producing, and two, the amount of injuries they have, which leads us to getting healthy. And then three, the two teams they just played, like there was so much going up against you. That's why you hope going forward into this weekend, a big game against the Chicago Blackhawks on Saturday, you get some key guys back. We were hoping that they were going to get some guys back for the Colorado Hurricanes game or Chicago. What's hello?
It would, they all run together because it's a lot of
cities with C's.
The letter C by Sesame Street. Yeah, that's what you're dealing with there. It's Colorado and then Carolina. And they end up with Chicago and getting healthy. I really thought, you know, I was thinking York having, you know, talked to him, like sound like he's coming along.
Back. Yeah.
So I've no, you know, we really are kind of in the dark on what's going on there. He's at this, you know, watch him skate, watch Drysdale skate also, Andre out on the ice. So I'm presuming that they're closer right now. And I'm presuming you don't want to force a guy into the lineup, but I mean, it's getting to that critical point now to stay in touch, if you will, with what's in front of you. So I got to think they're just, you know, especially York, just itching to get back into the lineup. And, you know, the guys have come in and played okay, but when you have those really, really good teams, and if I'm putting a guy back in the lineup, maybe it's better to go against a team like Chicago that's coming in to kind of wade in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at all the injuries, almost all of them defensively. Emil Andre, Cam York, Jamie Drysdale. I think that's contributing to some of the mistakes we're seeing is, frankly, just defensively, guys are on the ice way too long. I look at a Nick Seeler, who was on the ice for most of those goals and not making egregious mistakes, but you got to think some fresh legs out there are going to help the cause. I mean, Travis Sanheim, I don't know how much longer he can do what he's doing. If you want him to be a big contribution at the end of the season, hopefully when you are in contention, I mean, this is not a track record that you can keep going down with him.
No, they can't do 30 minutes a game or whatever, but they do have the days off in between, which helps. So, you know, that'll be a plus on what's going on because they had the back-to-backs early, which really did them in. But also, it also affects when you mentioned the defense kind of scrambling at points. It affects your goaltending. We saw Fedotov played okay early in the game. I mean, he stops the puck. It's not orthodox many times the way he does it. But then when it really got scrambling in front of him, he was going side to side, and everybody looked under the water there. That one real leaky goal in. But other than that, it was people in front of him not playing a structured game, which is difficult against, especially against Colorado with their speed. And once Carolina got whirring around that offensive zone, they were just chasing the game. And you can't chase, you know, in addition to your defense, when you lose a defensive zone faceoff and you have a team like Carolina that's living in your zone, that faceoff costs you, you know, 10, 15 seconds of possession time. It can't get out of the zone. So a lot of things worked against them in that third period.
Yeah, it definitely did. And that leads us to the biggest thing, which you don't want to joke about must wins in November before Thanksgiving. But oh my goodness, is Saturday one of those? It's against the Chicago Blackhawks. Everyone's going to talk about the Connor Bedard, Matvei Michkov matchup, which we always knew was going to be what made this game really enticing. But now this game is enticing because you need to start building confidence back up and feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, that matchup will be, I mean, Bedard really hasn't played that well this year. He, in fact, moved to the wing for at least part of a game. That's tough being a center, a young center. And I think Michkov, he's one of those guys that, you know, he likes the attention. He likes the spotlight. So I think this is going to be a big game for him. I actually thought that last game against Carolina, I was looking for him in the third period to kind of a game break type of thing. So I think he'll really want to go head to head here. It's a team game, obviously, but you know, I know that when he threw out the first pitch for the Phillies, I think he had seen what happened in Chicago when he threw out the kid threw out the first pitch, and I think he wanted to kind of match it. So no doubt when this thing starts, he's going to be cranked up for this game. So I would suspect that he's going to be flying for this game. And it was interesting on the national broadcast, Tortorella talked a lot about Michkov. You know, and that's obviously the storyline for the national. We've been seeing him forever here, it seems like. But for them, it's like a glimpse at the Flyers. And Torts talked about how hard it was to communicate during a game with Michkov and how afterwards, once a week, they'll talk about it. So I'm sure that all of those lessons will be well spent when he goes up against Bedard in this game.
That is the hope, and we'll see if the Flyers can get back on track here this weekend. And that is South Philly Sauce, an Odyssey original, brought to you by 94WIP. And Jack Daniels will recap these weekend games early next week. We'll see you then.